This is Ben Goujon with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Arts, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am privileged to be talking art with Isaiah Zay Williams, artist, founder of Zay Creatives, filmmaker, and now one of Rock Island's Citizens of the Year. Isaiah, welcome to Talking Art.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today. I remember first hearing about you when I first started working at Quad City Arts, about just kind of hearing this buzz about, oh, check out Zay's work. Like, do you know Zay? And then we finally met at the Mini Murals at the Mall competition last year. And now you are Rock Island's Citizen of the Year. One of them, but in the artist category. Tell me about that. What's that like? What an honor.
Yeah, that was an unexpected award. I didn't expect to get that. It was really cool. That's actually Citizen of the Year for Artistry is actually a new category that they had founded. Yeah. So I and another young lady had won that award. And it was really cool to, you know, be a part of that, because, you know, I had never really won an award for art before. So, you know, to be an artist, you know, getting an award for Citizen of the Year for artistry is like a huge deal. So I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, yeah. And just to be, you know, that's a community nominated award. It's, you know, not something you submit to or apply to, but some people from the community have to nominate you. So that just speaks to the work you're doing and the impact that it's having. We are going to have Carolyn, who is the other artist of the year, on in a few weeks. But yeah, I was so excited when I saw that you had been named. And, you know, Rock Island has so many wonderful citizens and so many great artists. So to get that recognition is just really special. And you are, it always impresses me when I look at your art, the breadth of the things you do. So you're a visual artist, you're a fashion designer, and now you're a filmmaker. Tell me kind of about your journey in the arts and how that started and how you've branched out.
Well, it really started when I was younger, you know, obviously, but I had never really seen art that I liked when I was younger. It wasn't until I got to like the last year of high school going into college that I started to see art that I really liked. And from there, I kind of tried to find my style, as well as just, you know, drawing inspiration from a lot of artists I've seen on Instagram, because that's where I started to see a lot of the artwork that I like. So I kind of started from there and transitioned. I've done shoe customs. I've done some different kind of sculptures, but
sure.
My art style is all over the place. I do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and there's lots of like kind of sci-fi stuff and stuff that's very pop culture centric. And also I think you call it the Afroverse.
Yep.
and I love it. It's so bright and vibrant and it's just incredible. So let's dive into Stealth Angels, because you just announced this. And in the announcement you said it's a project you've been dreaming about and working on for years and years. So tell us what Stealth Angels is.
So the Stealth Angels is about a military organization of young people, and their mission is to rescue hostages from a small army of mercenaries. This is a short film that's surrounded by, you know, sci-fi action. It's a sci-fi action thriller. Yeah. The idea for the story I've been working on since I was like a small child. Like, it's been almost 19 years in the making. The goal is to make this into a feature-length film, but I thought it would be really cool to start it off as a short film and then it connect to the actual film.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to do a short film to kind of open the door for the actual film to get made. So, I'm really excited about this project. I wanted to reveal it in a big way, so I did like a photo shoot.
Yeah, they were great photos.
Yeah, that was really fun. I enjoyed that. So I'm really excited to finally just, you know, put it out there, because, you know, keeping a secret like this for a long time is whew, it's like a weight is lifted off of you.
Yes.
So it's just, yeah, it's amazing to finally do this and, you know, and it be filmed in Rock Island. Like, that's like another big thing too, because another goal of mine has been to invite the, because I think there's a film class at Rocky. We unfortunately, we didn't have that, but
yeah,
when I was going to Rocky, but I would like to invite that class to be able to be a part of the film crew to show them how you know how it works and whatnot. So
are you a Rocky grad?
Yep, sure am.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I, you know, that's something I think would be really cool, because you know, it's one thing to be in class and learn about film, but it's another to actually be on set and learn, you know, how the process works and whatnot. So
yeah,
yeah, I actually have the casting call this Saturday too, so I'm really excited about that. So, you know, anybody is welcome. I need as many people as possible. So yeah, it just feels really good to finally start this process after so long and taking in all the information and things I've learned and just kind of applying it too. Cause you know, everything I've done, you know, from the artwork, the clothing design, the graphic design, just everything I've done is just, it's all going to fit into the film. So it's really cool that, you know, I've had this journey and learned all these things and being able to incorporate it into like my dream project.
Sure. Have you done filmmaking before?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, especially I want to say a little bit of high school, a little bit of middle school, but mostly I would say photography.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And it's such a different medium. Like my background was in the theater world, but then, you know, and I always connected it with film. And then I like actually got into the film industry and was like, this is like two totally separate things, you know, like filming is so technical.
Oh yeah.
you know, the final product is the art, but the actual process of it is so technical and so rigorous in that way. So I'm excited for you to start and to see what you come up with.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of the short film first, because that, you know, if you've got that product, you can then use that to sell the feature for when you're looking for funding and backers for that.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, this is what we got.
Right.
Want to make it more.
Yes. And speaking of funding, if anybody would like to donate to help get the film funded, you can find the link in my bio on my Facebook page, Zay Williams, or you can go to my Afroverse Studios page and the link will be there too. So the link is everywhere. But if anybody would like to donate, that would be greatly appreciated. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah. Filming is not cheap.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, and that's, you know, it's one of those things for me as an artist where I look at filmmakers and, you know, as a theater guy, I'm like, okay, I produce a show, I sell tickets, and that's how I make my money back or try to make money. With film, it's such a large initial investment, you know, and trying to get money back on that is always like, to me, very bewildering, you know, and sometimes it's just for the love of the game, I did this film because I wanted to do it.
Right.
But you are such an entrepreneur. Like, just studying you and researching you, that's one thing that really jumped out to me. And like looking at your website and your fashion and your art, what has, as you have grown as an artist, you know, how do you kind of find that artist entrepreneur balance?
Whew, yeah, that's always the biggest challenge I feel for artists, is just kind of finding that balance between the art and finance, because those are two different giants. So I had to come to the realization that when it comes to art, it's a $1 billion industry. When you really look at it, when you sit down and like do your research, there's a lot that goes into it. So I'm like, okay, if I want to sell my art, if I want to put it out there, I need to learn how to do it. The behind the scenes on, you know, financial literacy, the financial sometimes struggle that comes with it. So, you know, having that knowledge and having that understanding helps me to put my artwork out there in such a way where people are like, okay, I can purchase it here. I can do this, this, and that, and the third. So I'm still learning. It's an ongoing process of learning, you know, how to, you know, use that entrepreneurship to get the artwork where it needs to be in front of the right people. Like, there's so much that goes into it. So I try to do as much research as I can on the financial side, as well as learn more about, you know, the artist world and how that works too. So just kind of going back and forth and bringing it together as much as I can.
Yeah. And I always joke about, like, you know, I finished grad school for acting and moved to New York and had really very little knowledge of the business side of things. And those first couple of years I was in the city, I, you know, jokingly say I put myself through second grad school for marketing just by researching and reading books and, you know, studying marketing and advertising. Because, like, as an actor, you're your own product.
Right.
You know, and as an artist, like, you may have a defined product, but if you're not pushing it, no one else is necessarily. So, I mean, that's so awesome. And there is, like, just that level of financial literacy you need as an artist that you don't learn in the studio. Mm. You know, you've got to, if you want to make it a career and your business, like, you have to learn that side of things.
Oh, yeah. And it can be tedious, but
yeah,
it definitely helps even more to, you know, speak to people that are, I would say, ahead of you in that aspect.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting their wisdom always helps too, because, you know, they, you know more than you. And I would hope that they know more than me, because I would have plenty of questions to ask. So definitely one of the biggest things is just going out and searching for people that are, you know, in the industry and know all the financials and can give you the right advice and whatnot on how to accomplish your goals.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I did a lot of too, like, as an actor, was looking at that person who was booking, like, that next tier up of jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, talking to those friends in the industry of, like, how did you make the jump from this level to this level? Because, you know, there's those tiers, mm-hmm. and it's like, how'd you do that? How'd you get there? And just finding that out, and that importance of, you know, I always think of it as paying it forward or extending the ladder down, you know, and that I really like as an artist, of helping younger artists how to figure that stuff out, because there's not a guidebook for it. Mm. And everyone's kind of has their own path. I'm excited for Stealth Angels. I hope you get some amazing actors this weekend. I want to talk a little more about your visual art right now, because you have such a unique style. It's so bright. It's so vibrant. You know, it's not like a lot of the other artists I see around in the area. Where does that come from? What influenced that for you?
Honestly, I would say just nature, the world around me. You know, I see other pop art, pop culture art, and I draw a lot of inspiration from that, especially the vibrancy that comes from it. I kind of wanted to apply that to my artwork, especially, I think, when your art is vibrant and bright, it stands out more. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, because I see a lot of artists, they don't necessarily utilize the vibrancy in the art. And a lot of times, that's okay. You know, sometimes that is the look that they're going for. But for me, I want my soul to reflect through my artwork. You know what I mean? So, I love for my art to have the bright colors and just be different in such a way, you know. So I like to incorporate the vibrant and the bright colors always as much as I can, but also, you know, try different things too.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about, you know, kind of bringing in that pop culture aspect, and a lot of your artwork does embrace pop culture or pop culture figures, or social justice figures. Tell me a little about, oh my gosh, can that be edited, Mark? We got a little side eye on that.
Okay.
But tell me about kind of how you choose your inspirations for the pieces you create.
Well, for example, one of my favorite pieces that I have right now is my Miss Brizzle piece.
Yeah.
That one's inspired by the Magic School Bus, Miss Frizzle. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a play on words, because I wanted to reimagine Miss Frizzle as Black Miss Brizzle. So I just took the F and put the B on
sure.
there. So I kind of incorporated realism with illustration with that, because The portrait of her is like a realism, and the behind her is illustration. So I wanted to bring those two elements together.
Yeah,
and that kind of was inspired by the Magic School Bus. I grew up watching that.
Right.
So I thought that'd be really cool to do. So I just like to just bring things together, different elements together, and it just kind of morph into its own thing. But yeah, that's one of my favorite ones right now. I actually was at the Marlon Wayans concert. I think that was almost a month ago.
Yeah.
I did a portrait of him, and I was thinking, you know what? I need to go and see if I can give it to him, because, you know, not that we don't always get like a big celebrity out here, you know.
Right.
So I end up going to the concert. I got a decent seat up front, as close as I could get.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing was I went to the side, the very side of the theater, because I didn't want to like put the canvas up and block people's view.
Sure.
But I went to the side and I held up the canvas all night long. I think the concert was maybe 2.5 hours long. So I was there and just tried to get his attention the whole time. Because, you know, comedians, they look at everyone.
Yeah.
I think he saw me at some point during the night. But it wasn't until the end of the show where everyone kind of got up to the front of the stage. And there was people like root me on, because there was other people that seen my painting, like, oh my God, that's amazing. You need to get up there. So there was people like pushing me up there, because I was trying to make my way to the front of the stage. So I got up to the front of the stage and he saw the painting, and I was able to give it to him. He literally pulled out his phone and shouted me out on his live, because he had did a live video during the end of the show. So he shouted me out. He took the painting. It was this big thing. It blew up on Facebook. It was crazy. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So I think the vibrancy in artwork always pops out the most. Like, so that, I think that's what really caught his attention, was just the vibrancy in it too. So I think that's a great accomplishment. I can kind of brag about a little bit, just a little bit. So yeah, that was a great experience. I'm happy to, you know, talk about it as much as I can.
Well, yeah, and you've done portraits of Kobe and a Biggie reference portrait, and then also things like the Breja Terrell piece. You in both your artwork and your fashion, you have a lot of social justice themes. What about that is important to you to incorporate into your work?
You know, I'm really glad that you asked that. I forgot her name, but I had seen this video on Instagram, and she had spoke on artists are so important, because the art that you produce, it's not only does it educate, but it also ruffles feathers in certain areas, especially political. Like, artwork can get very political very fast, especially depending on what it is that you paint. And I feel like when artwork can be, I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it. She explained a lot better than I am right now, but artwork tells the truth.
Yeah.
And how it's projected. And I know that I don't have a lot of controversy artwork. I want to get into that a little bit.
Sure.
But artwork tells the truth in itself. And so when it comes to, you know, social justice, political justice, I think it's important for artists to speak out about certain issues, certain things that are going on in the world, because, you know, we watch the news, we read the newspaper, we see things on social media. But I think when you see artwork through the artist's perspective, it kind of changes your perspective as well, because artwork can be captivating in a way, and people, they see it in a different way, the concept, if you will. So, with my artwork, I like to project certain things, and it make people think too, you know, because that could change somebody's day, change somebody's perspective on anything, you know. So
yeah.
I think it's important that artists speak through their artwork, especially when it comes to that.
Yeah, and that's something I'm always really passionate about as a theater artist, is why this play now? You know, versus we're doing this play because it's an old timey favorite. Like, why is this play relevant now? Why does this play need to be produced now? You know, what is it saying? What is it teaching us? You know, and visual art is that same thing of, you know, I think about my favorite painting is Guernica by Picasso, you know, which was a commentary on the Spanish Civil War and Franco and all of that. And it's like, yeah, you see that politicalness inherent in the piece, you know, and that inspires you and to me makes the piece say more than maybe a beautiful painting of a bowl of apples.
That's true.
I have to say, just as a fanboy of both you and him, the Biggie painting I loved. I was looking at photos of it.
Oh, thanks.
And he has my favorite couplet in all of hip hop, which is in Juicy. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't know. There's something about that line that I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. Like you came up like and you like you're coming up in Rock Island, you know, which is a great place to grow up, but like you're striving for more. Which I love. Like I love it. You know, I always think of myself like as a hustler.
Yes, and
I see that with you and your posts. It's like, I'm hustling. I'm going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that spirit and that energy. I want to talk also about some of the, because I know you do, you know, not just hustling and trying to make it,
mm-hmm.
but lots of stuff with the community. I know you and Aubrey Barnes have collaborated a lot on the paint nights, which incorporates spoken word. Tell me a little bit about those because I've not attended one yet. But tell me what you do.
Yeah. So I actually just had a sip and paint recently with Altice. He is a local spoken word poet, and we kind of collabed in that sense with bringing the poetry and the paint nights together. So that was really cool. It was a packed house. We had that at Skylight Luxury Lounge, which is in Rock Island. They're a winery. I almost say restaurant. They're not a restaurant. They're a winery.
They have some charcuterie
Yeah, so that was a really nice vibe to do it there.
Yeah.
Me and Aubrey, we kind of go way back. We've been doing spoken word for a long time. We haven't necessarily collabed on the sipping paints and the poetry, but we've had like poetry nights and we kind of collabed in that sense. But,
sure.
I think the poetry and the art kind of goes hand in hand. If you think about it. So I definitely would like to start doing that more, just kind of incorporating different elements with the sip and paint. So like maybe singing or like a live band, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and it goes so well together. Mark was mentioning before you painting at his wedding.
Yeah.
Recital.
That was fun.
But I've seen other artists do that, like paint at weddings. Mm-hmm. Like I love that idea of just, as an artist, capturing a live event through the painting and work. How do you approach that versus I'm going to paint this portrait of Kobe, you know, kind of painting something live that's just happening?
Dang. So my process for that is a lot of times I try to center myself, just stay still, take deep breaths, just kind of think about what's going on around me, take in the sounds, the you know, what I see. I try to go from there. Sometimes it morphs into its own thing. Sometimes I kind of already have an idea based off the vibe. So I try to just let, I don't know. I just let the force guide me. it really depends on, you know, how I'm feeling that day or what's going on. So it's always something different every single time. So I try to just kind of go with the flow, if you will. So, yeah, it's a lot. Well, I wouldn't say a lot goes with it, but I try to have fun as much as I can with it because doing live painting, you don't want to make it too complicated, you know,
because right.
Then you'll get stuck and it's like, oh, what do I do?
You know, you've got a third of the canvas done. Mm-hmm. Like, Mark's like, I'm wrapped.
but that recital was really cool. I love the live music and it made me feel good.
Yeah.
So I was able to, you know, paint the live painting really nicely and, I can't wait to see the hanging up and wherever you put it.
Are you done with it yet?
Oh yeah, it's at home. It's waiting for you whenever you're ready for it. Yes, sir.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the Force, because I read that you are a big Star Wars nerd.
Oh, huge, huge.
I am a huge Star Wars nerd. I was born in 1977, so right when the original came out. One of my very first memories is watching Empire
Strikes
at
Back.
A drive-in, yeah, at a drive-in movie theater.
That must have been an experience.
Yeah. So what's your favorite Star Wars film?
How dare you ask me that? Dang, you know what? I would have to say probably Revenge of the Sith.
Sure.
That's probably one of my favorite ones. I remember my dad taking me to see that for the first time. Like, near the end, made me cry. Like, I was bawling my eyes out because, you know, as a Star Wars fan, I'm going to see that. You know it's going to happen. And I'm not spoiling it for anybody, like the two people that haven't seen Star Wars. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but... people that have seen Star Wars before, they know that there's going to be a calamity near the end of the film.
Right.
So it's like, I knew that was coming. I was like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. But no, just the events that happened in that film kind of set the stage for the next trilogy, or technically the pre-trilogy.
First, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, it picks up after that film. But Rogue One was really good.
Rogue One is probably really good.
I'd have to say those are my favorite two is Rogue One and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, and Revenge of the Sith for me was like the best one of the episodes 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I obviously grew up with the originals, and then, you know, have seen episodes 7 through 9, of course.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace to James Earl Jones, by the way. Yeah, that was terrible.
I know. That one hurt my heart.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do like a Darth Vader painting. I still need to get on that, but that's okay. Yeah, I'll get to it.
Yeah, he was just the voice of my youth between Star Wars and, you know, I always remember him doing the voiceover for CNN. That was just like, this is CNN. Dun, dun, dun. You know, it was like that voice and Field of Dreams. So many things. Another Star Wars I think is really criminally underrated and just gets shoved aside a lot is the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, you know
it got like bad early reviews and then people just trashed it and forgot about it, but like you go back and watch it and it's such a good just like heist film.
Yeah, and they make a lot of references to some of the other films too, like the Kessel Run.
Yep,
like huge in A New Hope. They were talking about it in A New Hope. So for them to actually, if you actually see the Kessel Run and him like actually do it, I'm like, oh my God, like that was one of my favorite scenes. But it was really cool that they was able to touch on, you know, and even he got to meet Chewie for the first time, you know, during, like literally on the battlefield. And it's like, oh my God, like all these things are happening. So I agree. That was a hugely underrated film. I'm going to go home and watch that now.
And I was just so impressed with, I always slaughter his name. Aiden Allreich. I don't remember how it Alden, Aaron, something. Anyways, like to step into Harrison Ford's shoes and play, like Harrison Ford as Han Solo is one of like the most iconic performances and characters in the history of cinema. And like to play him, and he did it really well. Like, that's not a hard thing. Like, hey, you're playing a young Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that's like a big deal.
Yeah. So I was just super impressed with that. Getting back to why we're here.
We just had to talk about Star Wars.
I could talk Star Wars all day.
Yeah, me too.
So Stealth Angels is coming up. You're in pre-production for that. You've got the GoFundMe going for funding, casting this Saturday. What do you have like a shooting schedule for that?
I'm actually hoping to start shooting sometime, I want to say maybe January.
Sure.
Most of the film is going to be shot inside, so that's actually a plus. So, you know, if the weather gets really crazy, we'll be inside. We don't have to worry about, you know, outside weather and whatnot. So I would hope to start shooting in January of next year, get that out the way, edit. I want to have at least two to three weeks to edit. And then I'm actually starting to already plan the premiere like that. That's that. I'm excited for that. But
yeah,
one thing at a time.
Right.
So I'm, you know, get everything underway.
And I will say the editing and post process always takes longer than you think it will.
I agree. Yeah, so the runtime, the goal is at least 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes.
Oh, so that's a significant short film.
Yeah. I know a lot of short films are, you know, 5-10 minutes, but you know, I have the intention of this being a bigger film, so I want people to get the most out of it the first time, you know.
Sure.
I'm not in a rush to put it on YouTube just yet. I want to utilize the premieres and film festivals and then put it on YouTube. So just trying to be strategic on how I put this out, because it is a big deal to me. It's my dream project. You know, I eventually want it to be a full-length feature film.
Yeah.
So just want to play my cards right and, you know, put it out there. Also, I just want to speak real quick. I know we got to talk on other things, but a lot of the inspirations for my film are from a whole bunch of other things. I like combined a whole bunch of things that I kind of grew up with and put them in there. So I'm really excited about that. So anybody that's into like sci-fi, anime, action, adventure, you know, just anything like that, it's going to be a film for you. And I'm really excited for it. And you're going to probably leave the theater wanting more. So that's the goal.
That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Are you, you've written it, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
You're directing it, presumably.
Yes, sir.
Are you also acting?
Yes, I will be. Yes, I'm excited about that.
just do it all, man.
Yes,
do
sir.
It
all.
What, can you tell us anything about the story that's not going to be too spoilery, other than you mentioned it's a like kind of youth military group.
Mm-hmm.
Is it set here in Rock Island or is it set somewhere else?
The setting is here in Rock Island. So okay. I think that's really special for me, you know, growing up here and then actually filming it here.
Yeah.
The location's already been, you know, chosen. So it'll blow your mind when you see like where it is. Cause some people will recognize where it is, but the way I'm going to shoot it, like you might not know right away, but I want to have a talk panel so people will be able to ask questions at the premiere. So it is centrally located. Like it'll be the last place you would probably think it would be. So I think that's really cool.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so excited to see it. I can't wait to see, you know, kind of what you do with that film. And also, you know, your journey as an artist has been so varied and, you know, you are not afraid to expand in any direction, which I really admire that courage and that creativity of like, I'm interested in this, I'm going to do it. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Isaiah. Thanks for being my guest on Talking Art. Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. For more information on Isaiah's art and other work, you can check out his site, zaycreatives.com. He's also on all the social medias. And specifically to support the Stealth Angels, check out its GoFundMe page. Just go to GoFundMe, search Stealth Angels, and it's the first thing that pops up. So thank you so much for being here today. Awesome chatting with you, and looking forward to the film.
All right. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too.